This podcast is supported by Midi Health. Are you in midlife, feeling dismissed, unheard, or just plain tired of the old healthcare system? You're not alone. In fact, even today, 75% of women seeking care for menopause and perimenopause issues are left entirely untreated. But it's time for a change. It's time for Midi. Midi's not just a healthcare provider. It's a women's telehealth clinic founded and supported by world-class leaders in women's health. Their clinicians provide one-on-one, face-to-face consultations where they truly listen to your unique needs. They offer a full range of holistic, data-driven solutions that isn't one-size-fits-all care. This is care uniquely tailored for you. At Midi, you will find that their mission is clear: to help all women thrive in midlife, giving them access to the healthcare they deserve, because they believe midlife isn't the middle at all. It is the beginning of your second act. Ready to feel your best and write your second act script? Visit joinmidi.com today to book your personalized, insurance-covered virtual visit. That's joinmidi.com. Midi, the care women deserve.
Another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee and co-host of the program with Bruce Miller, a longtime entertainment reporter. And we talked movies last week, but we're coming back to streaming and TV this week. A lot going on.
It's big because in the network world, they're wrapping up their seasons. So you'd see like season enders for those. But then in the streaming world, they're starting new series, and there are a lot of them that are starting. And these could be ones that, you know, hang on through the end of the year. So if you see something now, it could be an award winner by the time we get to December.
Yeah.
The one that I was most anticipating was Half Man. Uh-huh. And this is Richard Gadd, the guy who did Baby Reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
He actually started writing this before he did Baby Reindeer.
Oh,
and
really?
It's about two brothers, or brothers, and I use the term loosely because they have mothers that have a relationship. I don't think they even get married, but each mother has a son, and then the right. sons have to live together, and then one is a bully, and the other one is very intellectual, and they
intellectual, but also. Immature is, I don't know if that's
they've all got issues,
right? He's sort of like, you know, like the deer caught in headlights, maybe kind of.
He's the baby reindeer,
yes.
But Richard Gadd plays the bully like one, mm-hmm. and he scares the hell out of you. He's got this creepy haircut that you don't know what is this MMA or what is this, and then he's always kind of coming at people, and you go, oh, back off, you
right.
know. And then the mom says, well, he's going to have to move in your bedroom with you. And you go, oh, God, what does this mean? You know, and he does bring in people and other things to the room. And I would find it just frightening.
Yes.
Now, I wonder how much of this stuff actually happened to Richard Gadd. This is what from his own life, because
right.
Baby Reindeer was an incident in his life. But I would think, God, if I had to deal with somebody like this, I'd say no, you know. Put the kid out he can sleep in the living room. I'm not having this where he's threatening me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But in the course of the episodes, it shifts. And one is good and one is bad. Then the next time, the good one is the bad one. And it keeps going back and forth. So you have no idea what is at hand here. And then they turn into adults. And the adults are, how many have you seen so far?
So the series, it drops every Thursday on HBO, and I'm through the first two episodes.
Okay. It shifts dramatically.
Okay.
And the ending, I'm still not sure I know what happened.
Hmm. It's been an interesting ride for me. So you've seen all of them then?
Yeah, I've seen them all.
It's only six episodes, I believe. It's a pretty quick limited series. I'm kind of mixed on it so far. It's not as good as Baby Reindeer.
No, it's not as neat. And that one was a little more, you saw the trajectory and where it was going and what was
yeah,
happening.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, because you have two actors playing each role, because you have the older version and the younger version. So Richard Gadd plays the older version, and then there's another actor that plays his younger self. It's kind of interesting because it dives into bullying and some of the issues you deal with in youth and going through high school and going through college and exploring sexuality and all this stuff, but it's kind of all over the place. So I'm going to keep watching it, but I don't like it as much as Baby Reindeer. It's good.
I think that the matches weren't good. The kids are good as kids.
Yeah.
But then when you get them to adults, you go, how do I see Jamie Bell in this character?
Yeah, I have the same.
He's too old and too little to be matched up with the kid who played him as. He's the best thing in it. Jamie Bell is the best thing in it because he really he conveys my fear.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious to see where this goes, because it's kind of all over the place, and it's interesting. I'm fascinated by it, but it's definitely not to the same intrigue level as Baby Reindeer.
Well, the other one, you kind of knew what was going on. You think, oh, this woman's going to keep coming around.
Right, right.
How do you get rid of her? And with this, how do you get rid of a relative, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
But it's well done. It's done. Yeah. It's interesting. And because it's not 10 episodes where you go, I can't sit through this anymore. You know, Apple TV had a bunch of those ones where at least 3 episodes could leave their 10 episode run.
Right.
Because it was just too much and they were just stretching it out. But I think we've come to a nice, and this is because of British TV. They're the ones that set the tone with 6 episodes or 4.
Right.
Adolescence, another one that, got a lot said in a short amount of time.
Yeah, that was, I think, just 4 episodes, right?
Yeah. And I think that, to me, that is still the gold standard. That Adolescence was better than Baby Reindeer.
Yes.
Is better than Half Man.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's,
and then have you been watching season 2 of Running Point?
No, I never saw season 1 either.
This is Kate Hudson, and she's the manager or the owner of a basketball team. Very much so wants to be, what's his face? Ted Lasso.
Mm.
It has that kind of vibe to it. But in season 2, her brother, her kind of deadbeat, drugged out brother, wants to come and become in charge of the team because it's family owned. And he does whatever he can to try and undercut her. Now, there are humorous moments, but I don't think it's a laugh out or a lesson out kind of series that you get.
Okay.
But that's new, and that's running the rails. I think that's on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Then we're seeing another one of our Yellowstone spinoffs. You know, we had Marshalls, which came on CBS. Now we're getting Dutton Ranch. And you wonder what happened to that ranch? Hey, where's Beth? Where's her boyfriend? You know, where are all those people? They're in this one. Where it takes them, I have no idea because they haven't shown anything yet. But Dutton Ranch will be one that'll be premiering in May, and you'll be able to see what happened to all those characters. We talked a while back about For All Mankind was going to have Star City. That'll be coming in May. And then you've watched Testaments, right?
Yes, I'm caught up on that. And I'm not sure. We talked a little bit about it because you've seen all the episodes. Is that? Yeah. So I'm caught up. My wife and I love it. We think it's really good. It's fresh, you know.
It's cleaner than The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, I would put the Testaments, this first season, up with the first season of Handmaid's Tale. I think they're, honestly, this might even be a little bit better in my opinion.
Understand the world and it,
yeah,
you try to spin out so much, you go, well, who is that person? Are they bad? Should I remember them?
Right. Yeah. So I'm up to, I guess it's the Aunt Lydia centric episode, where they go in a little bit to her backstory of how, you know, what she was doing prior to the overthrow of the government and all, you know, and they're in the tennis stadium and all that stuff, and how she kind of, I don't know, like weaseled her way into. It's kind of like that. That's like, this is survival mode, right? And how do you survive that? But then you kind of like have to make some moral decisions, and you kind of learn a little bit of how Aunt Lydia became Aunt Lydia, and you know, she was at maybe one point a decent person, and maybe she still is, but it's almost like Darth Vader, right? Like there's that you're looking for that redemption. But Testaments, it's interesting because you have the narration coming from three people. You know, you have
right, and they're right, different takes.
Different takes. You've got your Pearl Girl, you have your Plum Girl, and now you have Aunt Lydia's viewpoint. Fascinating story. I'm really looking forward to kind of wrapping up the season, and I'm hoping that if we're going to do 2, 3, 4 seasons of this, it doesn't make the mistakes of Handmaid's Tale and go kind of too far off the rails.
No, and I think it has a satisfying finish, not necessarily an end, but a finish that lets you think, okay, if I don't ever see any more of this, I feel like I've completed this arc.
Yeah. Right. I would, that's what I'm hoping for. That's been solid.
Have you watched the Beef?
Oh, well, that's the one I was going to bring up next. And I might have a beef with Beef.
Oh, so really?
I'm not loving it. I'm not loving season 2. I'm going to watch it because that's what I'll do. But what is your thoughts on it?
I like this setting. I like them being at this country club where he's kind of shifting around and trying to maneuver, and yet he's in so deep he doesn't know how to get out of it.
Right.
I like that. When they bring in all the ones from, is it Korea?
I think so.
How that'll play into it. And the creator of the show says it could end for him at the end of this year. He doesn't need to do another season.
Well, and at the rate they're going, they may be. I think it was such a unique season. One was very unique, right? It was a fascinating story. It was completely off the rails at times, completely bonkers. The last episode was just downright ludicrous, I think.
And it makes stars of people too,
right? Yeah. And it made stars of people. And this is a little bit different because you're taking people, like, we really know these actors. I mean, you look at you know, who's it?
Carrie, are you talking, or Oscar Isaac?
Yeah, Oscar Isaac, and who's his co-star? They were in they were in Inside Llewyn Davis together. You know, if you remember that movie. And then the younger woman, she was in the last season of White Lotus too, right? You
and
know,
Charlton, so it's like, who was in May December? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So we have established actors here. We're not necessarily like launching careers, where I think Beef season 1 kind of introduced us to some younger actors and stuff. I don't know. It just feels like this is going to be a tough concept to repeat successfully.
With the unknowns, you could kill somebody in the first episode and it'd be all right.
Right.
With stars, you really can't do that. I mean, they've done it, like that Blue Sky. Was that the name of the thing that Reba did, where they killed off Ryan Phillippe in the first episode? And yeah, okay, I get it, but then Ryan Philby wasn't exactly one I bought in for anyway,
right?
You know,
yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, so you're still on the fence on Beef. What about Euphoria? You've seen it. I haven't.
So Euphoria, so I've seen a lot of running jokes about Euphoria over the years, where it's a show, it's watched, you know, the only two people that watch Euphoria are like teenage girls or
and publicists
or like 40 plus year old men. Like there's no kind of in between. So I guess I fall into that latter category. I started watching it. I think I watched it for the first time after the first season, after they did the 2 hour long specials that kind of bridged seasons 1 and 2. And then I think I picked it up right as season 2 was coming along. I crushed through season 1 and the 2 specials, and then picked up with season 2. And I watched it partially as a father of teen daughters. out of fear of, like, you know, what is going on in high school, right?
And I watch this, and what am I going to do if they?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little bit of each in that case. So I watched it, and I really love the first two seasons and the specials. I thought it's such a unique show, very well done. I liked it a lot. The problem that we've come to with season three is season two came out in 2022. And, you know, here we are 4 years later. It's been way too long. So we're getting to the point where they can't be in high school anymore. And they're not, right? So they've aged and passed. Not only are they out of high school, but if they were in college, they're kind of like out of college at this point.
They're collecting Social Security.
Yeah, right, exactly. But they've kind of gone... it's not doing well. If you look at Rotten Tomatoes, it's not sitting well with critics, and it's not sitting well with viewers. It's kind of in that, you know, middle ground of, it's not quite, you know, vomit, but it's struggling. I don't hate season three. It's been unique, I guess, is a way of putting it. But it went off the rails from pretty much the first scene where Rue is basically a drug mule, and she's trying to drive a car over a fence at the border of Mexico and the U.S. And it's like they put ramps up on both sides as she's trying to drive the car to get stuck on the top. And it's kind of ridiculous. And it kind of goes downhill from there. It's like whatever, you know, every one of these characters, whatever their worst possible traits are coming
out. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you've got, Sydney Sweeney's character is on OnlyFans.
Isn't she already?
Right. You know, Jules, she's in like art school, but she also has a sugar daddy. You know, it's kind of, we're kind of bonkers. I do appreciate though, and you can tell that he was going through, you know, the end is kind of there because of the way his speech is and everything. Eric Dane, this is his last. It's his last show before he passed away from basically Lou Gehrig's disease. He had ALS, and you can tell the way he talks and stuff that there's something going on. And it's kind of sad knowing that obviously this was his last thing. So it's good to see him on the show, getting some screen time, final project and all. But it's just unfortunate. I think, you know, after waiting 4 years for season three, this isn't what I wanted to see. And I'm as far as I'm aware, there are zero plans for season four. Like, this is it.
Well,
and it
this
needs
is
to be
an example of those. They make the stars and then the stars blow up.
Right.
They don't get the thing out and they don't want to hang there anymore. They always have said television is a star maker.
Right.
Movies are, they have to be a star. So this is what they want, is that trajectory to get over to movies. All of them have, you know, Zendaya, I think, has three films this summer, and Jacob Elordi got an Oscar nomination.
Right.
Sydney Sweeney's on every cover.
Yep.
So you can see where the time is near.
Right. Yeah. And it's funny. We were driving somewhere with the family and we were talking about TV shows, and I just mentioned, I'm going to start watching Euphoria, and you know, it's like Zendaya's in it, and my kids are like, she's in everything. She's in all these movies. Like, yeah, you know, she's come a long way from Casey Undercover.
Who knows how to do it, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. She's over. I don't know if she's overexposed, but she has a lot going on, and you know, yeah. The show is a
strike though while the iron is hot.
Yeah,
she sure has. And then she's got Dune coming out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's, you know, she's good. Well, I'll hold on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it. Yes, necessarily. There's another one called The Burrows. Have you heard of The Burrows?
No, no.
Gina Davis.
Okay.
It's a retirement community, and it could have a little Stranger Things vibe to it.
Oh, okay.
Well, to me, Cocoon. It's Cocoon all over again. We have also Zach Galifianakis in a thing called The Audacity, and that's about Silicon Valley. Interesting. Could be good.
Okay.
Kaley Cuoco is in a drama where her boyfriend disappears while they're on vacation.
Interesting.
Okay, we'll see what happens there. Jennifer Garner has one that's could be interesting. She could be getting her own kind of not rom-com, but certainly aging housewife audience. She's not necessarily a Hallmarky person,
okay.
But you know, she finds these things that are, you know, yeah, I'll watch that. That'll work. That'll be good. They're doing a Lord of the Flies adaptation. That'll be interesting. I don't know that I want to see Lord of the Flies again. That's just me. Widow's Bay. Widow's Bay is about a town not unlike the town in Jaws, where they live and die on resort money.
Okay.
And suddenly strange things are happening there. Like, is it haunted? What's the deal? Matthew Reese is the star of that one. So we'll see what happens with this. But there are lanterns. It's about the Green Lantern, if you're a big fan.
Nope.
They have a couple of those people in there. Margo's got money trouble. That's airing now. I don't like it. I'm sorry. Mm. It's got Michelle Pfeiffer and Elle Fanning in it. Too much. I don't need to see it. And I don't want Michelle Pfeiffer acting like she's not Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. Interesting.
She's good in The Madison, but I don't like her in. And this one is written by her husband, oddly enough. But there you go. So those are all the big things that are out there in the May month of TV. Just 1 month
that's
coming, and it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm also seeing stuff for new movies and other new TV series that'll come throughout the summer. And so there's not a dearth of this. But what I do notice is, if you want to get something made and you don't have an in with one of the biggies like Netflix, you've got to figure out how to be very calculating. Next week, I want to talk about a movie called Neglected, independent film. And the director talked about how if you want to get things made, you've really got to just do it all. You have to be, and it's a lot like in our business, where you can't just rely on being one thing. You've got to have another skill that will carry you through to that. So he not only directed, he stars in, he produced, he, you know, everything but craft services he did. And then expected his actors to kind of rise to the challenge too. And they do. They see what the business is, because it's not as flush as it used to be. You're not going to these sets and you're seeing like this banquet done by some Michelin star chef.
Yeah.
They probably got bags of chips and a couple of stale donuts out there. That's what it's
like. Right. Exactly. Interesting. So, it's an interesting time. I mean, I think for TV in general, and we talked about this last year, I think also where, and you mentioned at the beginning, where traditional TV, you would have your kind of your fall period, you'd have that little bit of a break, you'd have that spring period, and then you're done. I mean, this is kind of that time where shows would be wrapping for the year, and then you go into summer reruns and things like that. And then you get into like stupid things like, you know, the game shows that would come out only for the summers, or American Ninja Warrior or whatever, right? Those would be the only things you pretty much have. But it's become, streaming has made television a 12-month thing, because you can either stockpile stuff or there's just a steady flow, because Netflix needs you 12 months out of the year. So they're going to constantly drop things. Hulu,
and
you know,
you have to be your own programmer.
Right. I actually keep on my phone, in my notes, I've got a list of shows and, you know, that I want to watch or in progress. And then as soon as I watch the last episode, I hit check on it and close it out. So I have a list right now where it's either things that I haven't seen yet or just I'm working on. Like I'm done with Shrinking. I'm done with DTF St. Louis and The Pit and Paradise, Night of the Seven Kingdoms and Bridgerton. But there's so much stuff going on where you know, like Half Man is in progress. Testaments is in progress. I haven't gotten to the new season of Night Agent yet. There's that Netflix show 11/22/63, which I threw in my thing, and I'm like, I'm going to get to it eventually. I still haven't had a chance to get to Glitter and Gold. I mean, there's like all these little things that there's just too much going on for me to keep up with everything. But at some point, you know, yeah, I'll get to it. But it's just there's a lot. It's a lot to fill the thing. I mean, we started with my daughter in the series. It may have, I don't know if it's over yet or it's running close to being done, but it's that that new Darth Maul Shadow Lord. It's one of it's kind of like an extension of the Star Wars Clone Wars animated programs on Disney Plus. We watched the first episode. It's pretty good. We're liking it so far. But yeah, we like it. But it's that's another program where I think they've already gotten through six episodes already, seven episodes, and we just haven't had time to watch.
Do you fight each other about what we're gonna watch on TV, or what do you do?
No, it's we have enough, you know, we've got a family room TV and a living room TV, so the kids will sometimes go and watch their thing. My wife and I will sometimes go and watch our thing. I stay up way too late at night sometimes watching my own thing, so it's usually fine. The kids have a few shows that they watch like on their own. Did you know, and I don't know if this is with all the teens or if it's just my daughters with some of their friends, but do you know what show is super popular with them right now? It's The Rookie. I don't even know what channel that's on.
ABC.
It's an ABC show, right? They watch it on Hulu, but they love that show. It's their favorite show. They were talking about like The Rookie's coming back. The Rookie's coming back. I've never seen it. I've seen a couple. It's been on when they've watched it. Like, yeah, this show is not for me. I'm good not watching this. But they love it. Their friends love it. It's kind of that first adultish show I think they've had on their own that they kind of discovered. So, you know,
I find students love Grey's Anatomy, and I'm thinking the Grey's Anatomy is older than you are.
That's hilarious.
And
yeah.
They are all into it, and they'll go back and watch the old episodes. So who knows? Can I tell you what I have been watching?
What have you been watching?
Andy Griffith's show.
Oh, man.
Did you not? It is such balm for these times. It is just, I cling to it. And what I realized is that what it does is Andy kind of tamps down those people who are just jerks. Mm-hmm. He's real good with the mayor, who's just awful about everything and wants to get Barney somehow. And Andy has a way of figuring out how to make Barney look good in the eyes of everybody else. So then the kind of the evil mayor is stifled.
Okay.
Fascinating. I think there's a story I could write about this, and I might do it sometime, about all the lessons we can learn from Andy Griffith, because
interesting.
He's teaching me a lot of stuff. And, you know, I get all upset about politics and how things are and how people are and how kind of rude and mean they are. And all I think is, well, what we need is Andy Griffith. We just need him to come in with a guitar and sing a song, and Thelma Lou and all those ones can come around and sing with him, and we'll be a lot better off. But
we'll be.
Watch one of those old ones, because you'll realize they tell greater truths than you realize.
Yeah.
And they're not in your face like too many things are today.
Yeah. Did anything ever happen with that young kid that was on that show, little Ronnie Howard? Did he ever make anything of himself?
I hope he did well, because he was sure a good actor. I hope he didn't leave acting, right?
Right. It's kind of funny, you know, when you see some of these, you know, he kind of bucked that trend of child actors. I mean, obviously, Andy Griffith's show, he was on it forever. And then obviously Happy Days, but then to go on and to do so well with
he did those Roger Corman films, and he wanted to be a filmmaker. He watched everybody. He watched all the people on Andy Griffith, and did independent films that cost nothing, so nobody was wasting any money. And he did well with those, and they got an audience. But what his trick was putting himself in those films, because people might come to see a Ron Howard film starring Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And then he did Happy Days, which gave him some more cachet in that world. And look how it's gone. Now I don't even know. I mean, he did do something on The Studio.
Yeah.
I think he was Emmy nominated for that. But you can't find acting roles with him in it.
No, no. It's I think there's a handful of guys that have kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily had the same level of success, or maybe they're still in progress. But, you know, like you look at guys like Sean Astin, Jon Favreau, even Ben Stiller, who have they had that younger actor and they've kind of moved on to other things and have continued to do well for themselves. And it's good to see, because it just doesn't happen as often as you'd like to see.
Well, look at all the ones who were in 90210, Melrose.
Yeah.
All those could have had a career behind the camera, but I don't know if they wanted that. So now they're doing Dancing with the Stars and hanging on in other ways.
There you go. All right. Well, we went through a lot today. Next week, we'll be getting back into some movies. Thank you again for listening, and we'll be back again next week with another episode of Streamed and Screened.